नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण। सो वी विल डिस्कस दिस ओवरव्यू ऑफ सेवेंथ कैंटो। सो द प्रिंसिपल सब्जेक्ट मैटर ऑफ सेवेंथ कैंटो इज ऊती। वी हैव 10 टॉपिक्स इन भागवतम, ऑल ऑफ यू नो। अत्र सर्गो विसर्गस्य स्थानं पोषणमूतयः मन्वंतर ईशानुगतः निरोधो मुक्तिराश्रयः। सो सर्ग विसर्ग आर कवर्ड इन द फर्स्ट टू कैंटोस, प्लस फर्स्ट टू कैंटोस इज मेजरली लाइक प्रिल्यूड, ऑल्दो सम लिटिल सर्ग एंड विसर्ग आल्सो कम इन द सेकंड कैंटो। थर्ड एंड फोर्थ एंड फिफ्थ कैंटो टिल 15th चैप्टर इज सर्ग एंड विसर्ग, लॉर्ड्स क्रिएशन एंड द क्रिएशन ऑफ ब्रह्म and his sons, right? Then fifth canto, second half, we see sthanam. Sthanam is the geographical location of various planetary systems. And sixth canto is poshanam. Then another topic is uti, next topic. Uti means inclination. This inclination is of two types: auspicious inclination, which arises from devotee's mercy, and inauspicious inclination, which arises from demon's anger. So for the auspicious Uti, we have Prahlad Maharaj as an example, whose devotion arose from Narada Muni's causeless mercy. And for the inauspicious inclination, we have Hiranyakashipu's anger. Right? So this is the prominent topic in the 10th canto. First 10 chapters discuss this part only. And another perspective of looking at this 7th canto is, this canto discusses two types of devotees, Shuddha Bhaktas and Mishra Bhaktas. Shuddha Bhakta is Prahlad Maharaj, you can clearly see from the first 10 chapters. And Mishra Bhaktas are of Karma Mishra Bhaktas, Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, Bhakti Mishra Jnanas. They are different kinds of mixed devotees. So that part is covered in the second half. Not second half, last one third. Last five chapters, 11 to 15, Varnashram, etc. So, considering this auspicious inclination means the inclination to perform bhakti, which is actually coming from devotee's mercy. This is explained like this. By devotee's mercy we get bhakti. Means the seed of bhakti is planted in our hearts by a devotee. The seed of bhakti was planted in Prahlad Maharaj's heart by Narada Muni. Right? And that seed has to be watered through regular hearing and chanting. And for that seed to fructify, so you have the seed and you have water also, but for the seed to fructify you need a fertile land. That is the qualities of humility and respecting other people. So these are certain qualities. So all these three are required for our advancement in devotional service. For our bhakti lata creeper to grow and reach the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world. If one has only first two, he has the seed and he has the water. Means he has bhakti given by devotee, he is initiated by a devotee, and he is regularly doing chanting and hearing, but he doesn't cultivate the Vaishnava qualities, then that will lead to offenses. And if he has one and three, he has seed and land. He has a fertile land, he has bhakti lata, but he is not nourishing that by regularly watering that bhakti seed by hearing and chanting. Then at the max he will reach to mode of goodness. The plant will not grow. Then if he has only water and land, means he has good qualities and he also is regularly studying scriptures and watering the plant, but he doesn't have the seed of bhakti coming from the mercy of a pure devotee. For example, Ramchandra Vishwas is there. Ramdas Vipra in the 10th canto, in the Madhya Leela, somewhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita it comes. I think Antilila 6th chapter, Raghunath Das Goswami. Right? So he regularly studies scriptures, right? And he has good qualities of respecting others and serving devotees, but he never got the mercy of a devotee. That's why there's not much result for that kind of bhakti. So all three are needed. So this is a prominent theme of 7th canto, where we have The auspicious inclination towards bhakti is coming from the mercy of a devotee. That is Prahlad Maharaj's story. Now in the end of sixth canto, we have these topics that are discussed. The end of sixth canto is Diti Indra episode, right? So Diti's sons Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were killed by the Supreme Lord Vishnu in the form of Varahadev and Narasimhadev, right? So Diti was not very happy. Then she did some vow, that is Pumsavana vow, to kill Indra, to get a son who can kill Indra, and then later Maruts took birth. That is a story. But catching that point, Parikshit Maharaj had one question. He said, yeah, Diti is having this concern, but any ordinary person also will have this kind of question, that how come Lord is taking the side of demigods and killing the demons as if he is partial towards demigods? So it raises doubt in any person's heart that Lord is partial. He is not equal to everyone. So actually Parikshit Maharaj clearly knows the answer. Lord is not partial. Lord is reciprocal. He reciprocates according to the mentality of a person who is approaching him. But still he wants to relish the nectar of conclusive truth from Sukadeva Goswami's mouth. That's why he is asking this question on our behalf. Right? So the first chapter is about the Lord's apparent partiality. So first, Parikshit Maharaj says, Lord Vishnu is Sama, equal to everyone. Priya, he loves everyone. Suhrud, he is the well-wisher of everybody. So, and he is Nishreyasa, means he has highest bliss. So, he doesn't have to derive any benefit from anyone. Second, he is Aguna or Nirguna, means he has no material qualities. So, because he has no material qualities, he has no envy or fear on material level. So, in spite of all this, it seems that he is taking the side of demigods and killing the demons. Right? So, it seems he is partial. It seems means somebody may doubt the Lord as being partial. Vishamo yatha. He doesn't say vishamo. Vishamo yatha. As if he is partial, he is taking side of demigods. So please remove this. Narayana gunan prati samshaya. So samshaya means doubt. I have a doubt towards the qualities of Narayana. So please clear this doubt. Then Sukadeva Goswami says, wonderful question you asked. Because this question is related to Bhagavan, Haresh Charitam Adbhutam, and Bhakta Bhagavata Mahatmyam. So the answer to this question will have these three topics: Bhakti, Bhakta, and Bhagavan. So Bhakti Vardhanam. So now Sukadeva Goswami gives an answer, and if you study the answer of Sukadeva Goswami to this question of Parikshit Maharaj, our Bhakti will increase. Bhakti Vardhanam will happen. Then Bhagavata Mahatmyam, we will get to know the glories of a devotee. Then third is Harish Charitam Adbhutam. We will hear about the activities of Lord Hari. So, Giyate Paramam Punyam Naradadibhi. So, this kind of topics are sung and glorified by great sages like Narada Muni also. So, offering obeisances to Vyasadeva, our Sukadeva Goswami begins to answer Parikshit Maharaj's question. First, he himself gives an explanation. How Lord is Nirguna, Aja, Avyakta, Prakritih Para. So you don't have to be knowing the meanings of these words. You are already Vidyapits. Yet, Lord appears as a human being. And all these three modes belong to the material nature, Prakriti. They cannot influence the Supreme Lord. Right? So in that case, whenever Lord is seeming to favor demigods, we should understand that as influence of time. People either flourish or diminish or vanquish, whatever, only according to the predominance of modes. If there is a predominance in sattva-guna, devatas and sages will flourish. If there is predominance in rajoguna, asuras will flourish. If predominance in tamoguna is there, then yakshas and rakshasas will flourish. Right? Most lower people, lower than the demoniac people also. Right? It's like seasons only. So now, water is impartial. Right? So So now, but I take more water in summer, I take less water in monsoon or winter, right? So that it's not about my partiality towards water, right? It's not that I like water, that's why I'm taking water more now. Because atmosphere is very hot, I'm taking water now. So it's like that. Because predominance of gunas here. So any material person will flourish on a material level only because of the prominence of modes, right? That's the point he establishes now. So great kavis see the Lord present in all the jivas and how he is favoring them. And Lord offers bodies to the jivas and conducts creation, maintenance and destruction through the three modes. So Lord creates time and Prakriti and Jiva will act under time. So here Sukadeva Goswami is saying that people attaining various destination is because of these modes, the prominence of these modes, and that modes belong to Prakriti, and that Prakriti or modes are acting under the influence of time. Lord is above that time. Right? So Lord is quite far away from the experiences of this material conditioned living entities. He is far beyond. So you can't impose partiality on the Lord just because some fellow is suffering. So because he is being influenced by so many things in the middle. And why this influence is happening on him? Because of his own activities. Like that. So all these points he discusses. So here, when demons are killed, time factor is enhancing sattva-guna and devatas are being favored. That's the point. So in this connection, Sukadeva Goswami remembers a story, a discussion that happened between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narada Muni at the time of Rajasuya sacrifice. So this pastime is, Rajasuya sacrifice pastime is elaborately discussed in the 10th canto. Right? The discussion that happened in Rajasuya sacrifice is discussed in 7th canto. So in the Rajasuya sacrifice, we know that this Shishupala, he was very envious. So he was blaspheming Krishna and Krishna beheaded him. And Yudhishthira Maharaj has personally seen this. Now he asked the question, Vena was also blaspheming the Lord. He went to hell. Why not Shishupal? Because Shishupal, when he was beheaded by Krishna, Shishupal did not go to hell. Everyone could see that the soul from his body came out and entered Krishna. Means everyone can understand that he attained liberation. He did not attain hell. So Shishupala and Dantavakra, they were so envious of Krishna, they were blaspheming Krishna. They did not get any leprosy or hell. This is quite astonishing. That was the question. Right? And of course, Acharya say that they did not actually attain Sayujya. They actually attained Salokya and Samipya. That's a little deeper discussion. So now our Yudhishthira Maharaj asks this question. So I am unable to understand it. How come Shishupala attained Sayujya? Or Sayujya or whatever, liberation. So, first, Narada Muni says, Shishupala must have blasphemed Krishna, but please understand that dualities do not affect the Lord. Because Lord is beyond the conception of this material body. So, he has no friends or enemies. He is not affected by criticism or praise. Right? So, ignorance causes experience of dualities and ignorance is not there in the Lord. So, he doesn't experience dualities. So, because Lord is anyways not experiencing any dualities, he is not affected by criticism or praise. What is the problem if I criticize him? That's the next question. Answer is, if you criticize him, you will get bad karma. Lord may not get affected by it. Right? For example, there is this wall. If I just bang my head on the wall, wall will not get affected, but I will break my head. It's like that. So, now the criticism which is done against the Lord with malice intention is definitely affecting the person who is criticizing. However, if the criticism goes to such an extent that that criticism becomes an absorption, deep absorption in that person, and if he constantly thinks about Krishna only, although with a negative emotion, he is constantly thinking about Krishna. It went into such deep meditation and absorption on Lord's bad qualities, apparent perception of bad qualities, still that's a meditation. So that is beneficial for him. If that criticism or absorption in with a negative mood is to such an extent, to such a degree, like that. So tasmad vairana bandhena nirvairana bhayana va snehat kamena va yunjat kathanchin nekshate puthak. So therefore, either by enmity, vaira, anubandha, nirvaira, bhaya, so all these emotions one can approach the Lord. Lord is not affected by all these negative emotions, but one will be purified eventually. So criticism is also of two types. One is favorable criticism, one is unfavorable criticism. Favorable criticism is sometimes gopis criticize Krishna, sometimes Yashodama chastise Krishna. So there is criticism, definitely, blaspheming of the Lord. But that's done with pure affection and love. Right? When Mother Yashoda chastises him, you are like a monkey, you are a monkey lover, you are a thief, you are a house plunderer. So like that she chastises Krishna like anything in Damodar Leela. That is transformation of love. That's favorable criticism. So unfavorable criticism is of two types. One is that criticism arises from an absorption in the Lord. Shishupala was so absorbed in Krishna while criticizing him. So that kind of absorption will destroy one's bad karma. And there is another kind of unfavorable criticism that doesn't raise absorption, which is gali dega, then he'll be in his own world, right? So that kind of criticism is very unfavorable, right? So vaira is continuous enmity that leads to absorption. Tasmad vairana bandhena nirvairana bhayanava. In that, vaira is not just normal enmity. Enmity power infinity, like that. Continuous enmity that leads to absorption. Then nirvaira is without enmity, with bhakti, like Yashodamaya or someone. And bhayena, lust with fear of transgressing moral codes. So at one point, some gopis were having some doubts. Oh, I think if I go to Krishna, people may kind of look at us in a different way. So there were some feelings like that. There is some bhaya. Still, they were having affection towards Krishna. That is very much favorable. Then bhayenava can also mean lust without fear. So some gopis are fearful of approaching Krishna because of, although they have affection. And Rukmini was fearlessly writing a love letter. In those days, writing a love letter to a young man, a young woman, who was about to get married, that was never heard of. But she was bold enough to send a love letter. That is bhayenava, lust without fear. Then somehow or the other, in whatever emotion you may have, vaira, bhaya, bhayenava, kama, or one more is there, nirvaira, whatever, one can get absorbed in Krishna. Right? But this is not a recommendation. So scriptures are not giving us a prescription that you please follow this sadhana of getting absorbed in Krishna with a negative emotion, with envy, with fear. That is not recommendation. But if somebody happens to be like this, then also he is benefited. That is the point. But purposeful blasphemy will definitely give negative results. So many such verses are there. Karmana manasavacha, tanaham dushatan kuran. So many such references prove that no one should blaspheme the Lord purposefully. So now here Narada Muni says that enmity actually gives more absorption than bhakti. At this point, Narada Muni glorifies this negative emotion so much that they are superior to bhakti also. That's what he says. Prabhupada explains that it's only out of humility Narada Muni is saying like this. He feels himself deficient in absorption. Right? So that's why he's glorifying the negative emotion so much. But he's not recommending any negative emotion like that. So Kaviraj Goswami also is very humble in writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? Then Radharani is humble, means while he says that there is some deficiency in her service, although she is the supreme most devotee, like that. So the essential point when negative emotion is glorified is that one should be fully absorbed in the thought of Krishna. That is the point. If one is fully absorbed in the thought of Krishna with a negative emotion, and if that is glorified so much and that is beneficial to that person so much, what to speak of a positive emotion? So that, even though it is of less quantity. So that is the point, that is the lesson we need to take from this. So gopis are absorbed, Maa Yashodamayi is absorbed, and even on a material level, what is this called? This insect is absorbed in the thought of another insect. This is called, in our library, Sharanagati only I have seen, one green insect, what is that called? Wasp. That wasp is carrying one, what is that called? Grasshopper? Grassworm. So that wasp is carrying that grassworm. I have actually seen that personally, just right next to my table. So by being constantly absorbed in the thought of this wasp, this grassworm also will become another wasp, right? If that kind of transformation can happen on a material level, what to speak of absorption in Krishna? Therefore, again he says, kamad veshad bhayat snehat yatha bhakteshwarya manah avesha tadagham hitva bhavatas tad gatim gataha. So many people have attained liberation by all these negative emotions also, right? Some positive emotions, some negative emotions. He gives examples also. Gopyah kamad, gopis by lust, bhayat kamso, kamsa by fear, dveshat chaidyadayo, because of envy, Sishupal and other people. Then sambandhat vrishneyah, so because of family affection, all these vrishnis are yadus. Here this vrishneyah specifically means vrajavasis, right? So yuyam bhaktya vayam vibhu, Pandavas because of affection attained Krishna. So everyone attained Krishna, but that attainment of everybody is not equal. That which is attained with lot of anticipation and interest and enthusiasm is different from that which is given to him. For example, you are longing to have, say, barfi, right? 4 days you are waiting, right? Or 40 days you are waiting. Every day you are doing backup so that I will get something, some madhuram sweet, something like that, right? Then someone gives you, you will relish it a lot. Or you are just passing by, someone just puts you, so put some 10 barfis in your hand. You have no interest. And you are a spicy man, you are not a non-spicy man. Some people in our ashram accept mirchi, nothing can excite them, right? You give them madhuram sweet, barfi and all, nothing can excite them, right? For such people, if you give sweet also, they don't relish it so much, right? The act of giving sweet is definitely a mercy, but the other person is not in a position to relish it. Similarly, Krishna gives liberation to demons also by killing them, but they can't relish that association of Krishna as much as a pure devotee who was constantly aspiring to serve Krishna. Getting right? So all these fellows will attain Krishna. Kama, dveshat, bhayat, all these people can attain Krishna. Potana also attained Krishna, and whatever, all the gopis, motherly gopis in Vrindavan, they also can attain Krishna. But the attainment of Putana and attainment of other gopis is different, on a different level. Like that. So now, after giving this philosophical explanation, Sukadeva Goswami says, Shishupala and Dantavakra were actually associates of Krishna, associates of Vishnu in spiritual world. They were cursed to become demons. Then Yudhishthira was surprised. Hey, how come Vaikunthavasi is cursed? We're cursed. I want to know about that story. Right? Even Vaikunthavasis can descend. Their descent is comparable to Lord's descent. How can they come down? Because of a curse. Then Narada Muni explains this whole story of how the four Kumaras went to the spiritual world, and Jaya and Vijaya did not allow them, and finally they were cursed. They became the sons of Diti. Right? Diti united with Kashyapa at a wrong time. Then Jaya and Vijaya became Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu in one birth. Lord killed them as Narasimhadev and Varahadev. Then Hiranyakashipu tried to kill Prahlad in many ways, but he failed. Narasimhadev came and killed him. Then later they became Kumbhakarna and Ravana. Lord Ram killed them. Then they became Shishupala and Dantavakra. Then Krishna killed them. So these are their three births, right? So like that he explains. Now Yudhishthira Maharaj asks a question. In the middle, when you were explaining about their three births, you said that Hiranyakasipu tortured Prahlad Maharaj. And eventually, Narasimhadev came and killed Hiranyakasipu. What was the reason? Prahlad how did a loving father chastise Prahlad Maharaj so much? What was the cause of their enmity? I want to know this story. So this is the seed question for the next 9 chapters. Now, in the second chapter, Sukadeva Goswami begins at the context of Hiranyakashipu's death, Hiranyaksha's death. So Hiranyakashipu was very much angry because of Hiranyaksha's death in the hands of Varahadev. So he calls all the demons and instructs them. Vishnu is actually impartial, right? Hiranyakashipu also knows this. But just like a child who changes parties, right? You give chocolate to a child, mother gives a chocolate to a child, mother is more favorable and inclined towards mother. Child is more favorable towards mother, right? And father just chastises him. But when father gives a chocolate, he leaves mother and then comes to father, right? Whoever chastises him, he stays away from them. Whoever gives him chocolate or biscuit, then he will be more favorable. So he has become childish. Vishnu has become childish. He is supposed to be impartial, but he was influenced by Maya and he is showing impartiality like a restless child. So I will kill Vishnu. Right? How will I kill Vishnu? Go and if I kill Vishnu, then I can please my brother and demigods will wither away from here and there. Right? So the method is you go and destroy Brahmanas and cows. No yajnas. Demigods will automatically die and Vishnu will also be affected. So we will plan like this. So then demons are actually by nature they were very envious and disastrous, and on top of it the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, so they received an order from him, so they became very enraged. They burnt all the cities and villages and destroyed all the bridges and they made people give up Vedic culture, and demigods left heaven. After giving those orders to the demons, Hiranyakashipu goes to the relatives. He started consoling relatives by speaking philosophy. Right? He says, please don't lament for a hero's death. Because my brother, glorious Hiranyaksha, he died on the battlefield in the hands of enemy. That's a glorious death. He will get good destination. So you should not die. And he speaks philosophy. In a restaurant, so many people come together, right? And they eat together and then they disperse. Right, all jivas, although they are our family members, our friends and relatives, they are all like travelers in a restaurant. We stay for some time and we disperse. Then soul is eternal, inexhaustible. He gives a Gita class. Bondage and transmigration is due to the misuse of one's slight independence. While misusing his independence, Hiranyakashipu is giving this lecture. Values. Speaking values without following values has no value. Right? Hiranyakashipu is an example of that. But sometimes we have to speak although we are unable to follow because we are given that service, but we should have an attempt to follow those values. That's the point. We should be inclined to follow those values. So Hiranyakashipu is on the opposite side. So mind is agitated and a pure jiva thinks that he has changed. Right? So, Mati Brahman. So, result of that bewilderment is conception due to conception that causes happiness and suffering. So, these are the certain instructions on soul and philosophy that our Hiranyakashipu gives these relatives to console them who were aggrieved due to Hiranyaksha's death. Later, he gives an example of a king called Suyagya. Once a king named Suyagya fought on the battlefield and he died on the battlefield, and all his wives came. They became so happy. So they were so unhappy. They were lamenting for the king's death and they were not allowing the people who are coming to take the dead body also. Right? Then Yamaraj came there in the form of a small boy and spoke few wisdom words. He said, it's amazing to see older people, right, who saw hundreds of births and deaths, they are also getting bewildered. And we are so fortunate that we have no experience of death. Although we are children and we are not protected by parents, we are weak. Still, we have faith that Lord will protect us, right? As He protected us within our womb, within mother's womb. But why these elder people are not understanding this matter? Then he says, The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of creation, maintenance and destruction. So creation is like his plaything, right? Destiny, because of destiny one may lose money or gain money, right? And he says soul is different from the body, and he gives some analogies. What is the issue? When a householder thinks himself to be identical to the house, so this householder has so much attachment to this key, right? As long as this key is there within his pocket, he thinks, I am secure. If he loses that key, he'll become restless. Why? Because that fellow is identifying himself with the house. The car driver is identifying himself with the car. So this lamentation on a material platform occurs only because of identification with one's body. He says that. Just like fire is different from the wood. Although fire is manifesting in the wood, but fire is different from the wood. Similarly, soul is manifesting in the body, but soul is different from the body. So air is there. It is there within the mouth and nostrils, but yet it is perceived as separate. Right? You can't possess this air like that. So sky is there. It's all pervading, but it never mixes with anything. Similarly, soul is eternal. Although it comes in contact with the material body, it is not affected by this. Right? It is eternal. Just because your lamentation is only due to identification with the body. So he speaks all these things. This totally contradictory lamentation. So bodies are created by 5 elements, 10 senses and mind. Jiva comes in contact and gives them up. Right? Subtle body binds the soul to karmic results. Right? Then he speaks that material happiness and distress, they are all meaningless. And spirit soul is eternal and body is perishable. Please know this. If you understand the science of soul, that body is temporary, then subtle body is entrapping the soul and soul is eternal. All these facts, if you understand, you will not lament. So he gives another story. You are getting right where we are. Hiranyakasipu, first, Parikshit Maharaj asked the question, Sukadeva Goswami is answering by quoting conversation between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Narada Muni. So he is quoting a conversation between Hiranyakashipu and his family members. And he is quoting a conversation between Yamaraj and the wives of Suyagya. And he is explaining a story also, that is story of Kalinga birds. So two birds are there, the female bird was captured and the male bird was bewildered. See the small children here, small birds. So I cannot live without my wife. So wife is half of my body. He was lamenting like that. And male bird was also shot. While he was lamenting, and hunter came and shot this male bird also. Female bird is gone, male bird is also gone. So like that. So don't be foolish. So even if you lament for 100 years, your husband will not come back. Right? But your life will be finished. So like that, he gave them some wisdom. So quoting this story, Hiranyakasipu consoled the family members. Right? Then, in the third chapter, Hiranyakasipu goes to do some austerities. Right? So, his desire is that he wants an unconquerable, he has to be unconquerable, he should not have any old age, death, and he should become ruler of even Brahmaloka. And he goes to the Mandara Valley and starts doing austerities. Then the effect of those austerities came in the form of light and fire from his head, and all planets in the universe became very hot. Rivers and oceans are getting agitated, globe is trembling. So, then all the demigods went to Brahmaji and asked, this fellow is doing some austerities. Please stop these disturbances. Otherwise everyone will get annihilated. He is planning to occupy your post, my dear Brahmaji. So he plans to reverse the pious and impious activities. So your post is auspicious. Demon cannot occupy your post. So please do something. Then Brahmaji goes to Hiranyakasipu. He said, your austerities are very perfect. I am pleased by your austerities. So although half of your body, the flesh is gone, only bones are seen, still you are maintaining your life here. This kind of severe austerities cannot be done even by Bhrigu also. And you may happen to maintain your life without water for 100 celestial years. We cannot do this even for 10 minutes. Right? So your determination has conquered me. Please, ask what you want. Then Hiranyakashipu asks the benediction, which is very clever. I don't want death. Right? Then what answer he has to expect from Brahmaji, he knows. No death means it's not possible. That's what often demigods say. I don't want death from any jiva created by you, within or outside a residence, during daytime or nighttime, on ground or sky. So like that he gives so many protocols. Right? So I should not have any rival, and I should have sole leadership over all living entities and presiding deities also. Please benedict me like this. It's a very clever benediction. And I want also all mystic powers. Then Brahmaji says, fine, granted, but be careful. Right? He said that and went. Then Hiranyakashipu came back to his kingdom and started doing austerities. Not austerities, atrocities. After austerities, demons do atrocities. Right? So he has a lustrous body and his envy towards Vishnu, who killed his brother Hiranyaksha, that increased a lot. And he resided in the heaven. He took away the opulence of Indra, and demigods had to bow down at his feet. Even Narada Muni also started glorifying Hiranyakashipu. So he's always in a drunken state. So now he went through tremendous austerities with lot of sense control for 100 celestial years. After he received the benediction, then immediately he was always in intoxicated state. So the opposite thing is happening. So he was having such strong sense control only to enjoy that senses so vigorously. Right? For extra sense enjoyment, for uninterrupted sense enjoyment, they interrupt sense enjoyment for some time. That is the motivation of a demon. Right? So he accepted sacrificial shares for himself, and he allowed people, you ordered people, you worship me, not other people. Then he started controlling nature also. Earth gave abundant grains without even plowing. No agriculture is needed. Directly grains will come. Cows gave abundant milk. Outer space was decorated with wonderful phenomena. All the oceans and rivers gave gems and jewels for free. Right? So like that he started controlling the nature also. In spite of controlling all directions and the rulers of all directions and all kinds of sense gratification, he was always dissatisfied. Why? He had uncontrolled senses. So satisfaction comes by controlling senses. Right? Because he had uncontrolled senses, he's always wanting more and more. Anyur. So he was always dissatisfied. So then the demigods approached Vishnu. Demigods had a transcendental sound. Right? They went on the shore of the milk ocean and then said, please protect us. Then Lord came and spoke as grave as a cloud. Very encouraging words he spoke. So Lord's message was that one who is envious of demigods, demigods are actually representing Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is envious of demigods will be bereft of everything. Right? So he and his civilization will be vanquished without delay. Don't worry. When Hiranyakashipu teaches his son Prahlad, I shall kill him. So that was the promise given by the Lord. Then next comes the description of the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. Brahmanya Shira Sampanna Satya Sandhojita Indriya Atmavat Sarva Bhutanam Eka Priya Suhurtamaha. These are various qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, beautifully mentioned. Then, now Lord also said here, when Hiranyakashipu teaches his son Prahlad Maharaj, I will kill him. Then, Yudhishthira Maharaj asks another question. Parents are generally affectionate to children, and on top of it, here, Prahlad Maharaj is such a well-behaved child. Still Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill him, chastise him. So to such an extent that he wanted to kill him. Right? Not just teaching him some morality and then just beating him or slapping him. He didn't stop there. He wanted to kill him repeatedly. I want to know the reason. So that takes us to the fifth chapter where Sukadeva Goswami says about the education. So these demons accepted Sukracharya as their priest. So Prahlad Maharaj was sent to Shanda and Namarka school, right, their Vidyapit, Shanda and Namarka Vidyapit, Shukracharya Vidyapit. So, although Prahlad Maharaj is very knowledgeable, he was forced to study politics and other things, dharma, artha, kama, etc. Kama only, no moksha business. So he was studying under Shandai Namarka, and he was forced to study political philosophy of discriminating people as friends and enemies. Swapara. These are my people, these are opposite party. Duality. So one day, Hiranyakashipu called Prahlad Maharaj and asked, please let me know what you think is best. Then he says, Tatsadamanye, Asuravarya Dehinam, Sada Samudvigna Dhyam, Asadgrahat. Right? Hitva Atmapadam Grahamanda Kupam, Vanam Gatoya Dhari Mashtriyata. Give up this family business. Go to Vrindavan and worship Hari. This is what I think is best. Prahlad Maharaj gave such a bold reply. Then Hiranyakashipu's response was, he was laughing so loudly. So this child's intelligence has been spoiled by some enemy. Protect him at Gurukul properly. Right? Some Vaishnavas like Narada must be coming in disguise and spoiling the minds of small children. So all of you should be very careful. So he instructed Shandai Namarka. He is instructing his gurus, not his guru, whatever, the demon, guru of the demons. And Shandai Namarka took Prahlad Maharaj back to Gurukul and pacified him. Other boys are not like you, right? Why are you little different? Who spoiled your intelligence? He said like this. Then Prahlad Maharaj responds, Lord's Maya has created this concept of friend and enemy, right? So it is like asatgraha, means when a crocodile is there, that devours a man fallen into samsara. Asatgraha. Asat is samsara. Graha can also mean crocodile. Asatgraha means accepting that which is impermanent. And asatgraha can also mean that falling into this samsara is falling into the mouth of a crocodile. Like that. So, pleasing the Lord destroys pasubuddhi. So, my intelligence is not polluted by Guru's grace. By Guru's grace, what I had learned was, no one is my friend or enemy. Everyone is a servant of Krishna. That is the oneness amongst all living entities. This is what I have heard. So, this is Prabhupada's purport, Vaishnava thinking and Vaikuntha thinking. So, this is a very important purport you must have studied. Later, he says, there is no difference between there is no difference amongst various living entities. Because if you consider their souls, every soul is Sachidananda, part and parcel of Krishna, they are all equal. If you consider their bodies are made of earth, water, fire and air, ether, five elements. So everybody's body is same. Whether you consider their bodies or souls, everybody is equal. So there is no point of discriminating between people as friends and enemies. So Lord made my intelligence different from yours. First he offered obeisances to the Lord in the beginning, and then he said that Lord, Supreme Lord, has made my intelligence different from yours. My consciousness is naturally attracted to Lord Chakrapani, just like iron is naturally attracted to a magnet. Right? So then teachers chastised Prahlad Maharaj. They became very angry. They said, bring a stick. He is the cause of infamy of this Asura dynasty. He deserves punishment. Right? This demon dynasty is like a sandalwood forest and Vishnu is like an axe. Prahlad Maharaj is the handle of that axe. Right? Which is made from a thorn bush, thorn tree. So he is destroying our dynasty. So we have to punish him. Then later they forcefully taught Prahlad Maharaj about dharma, artha and kama. Without any moksha. Then Prahlad Maharaj was presented in front of Hiranyakashipu for testing. The next meeting happened. So teachers prepared him very nicely in the four diplomatic principles of Sama, Dana, Bheda and Danda, which are very much needed for Kshatriyas. So Prahlad Maharaj was received by Hiranyakashipu nicely. He sat him on the lap with affection and he was embracing him. Then he asked, what did you learn from your guru? First he asked what you think is best. Then later he asked a very specific question. What did you learn from your guru? Then Prahlad Maharaj had two kinds of gurus. One is spiritual guru, Naradamani. Other is material gurus, Shandai and Namarka. Prahlad Maharaj spoke from the teachings of Naradamani. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam. Then Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmani Vedanam. That was Prahlad Maharaj's answer. Right? Then Hiranyakashipu chastised the teachers. You are Brahmavandhus. You have disobeyed me. Right? He is taking shelter of opposite party, Vipaksha. Right? So who taught all this? Asaram. Asaram means no substance. It can also mean no comparison. So who taught him all this nonsense? So Prahlad Maharaj, then this Shandai Namarka said, Prahlad Maharaj's bhakti towards the Lord is very natural. It's naisargiki. It's not because of our teachings. Right? Don't accuse. We are Brahmanas. So if teacher didn't teach you, where did you get this kind of knowledge? Hiranyakashipu questioned Prahlad Maharaj. Teachers are saying that they didn't teach you. My dear Prahlad, where did you get this knowledge? Then Prahlad Maharaj gives this popular three verses, sequence. Matirna Krishna Parata Svatova. One's inclination towards Krishna cannot be invoked by his own efforts or others' instructions or a combination of both. Because of uncontrolled senses, such a grahavrata will repeatedly chew the chewed. Right? Then, later he says that they are ignorant of their own self-interest. Natevadu svarthakatim hi Vishnu. They are very ambitious to enjoy. Durashayaye bhirarthamaninah andha yathandai rupaniyamanah. They were misled by blind men. Then, tepisha tantram urudamani vaddha. They are bound in this material nature. Then, Prahlad Maharaj very elaborately explains the condition of a grahavrata. However, towards the end he says, but by the power of serving a Vaishnava, one can be uplifted. Their consciousness is not attached to the Lord's lotus feet, but still, if they smear their bodies with the dust from the lotus feet of great devotees, then they can be freed from material contamination. That's how he ends. Then Hiranyakashipu orders his attendants to kill Prahlad Maharaj. Right? He threw him off from the lap and said, kill him as soon as possible. This Prahlad is the killer of my brother. Right? So, unfavorable sun is like a diseased limb of one's body. He should be killed at any cost. So, just like uncontrolled senses are the enemies of a person, uncontrolled son is also an enemy of the dynasty. He must be killed. Then several attempts were made to kill Prahlad Maharaj, right? Using elephants and snakes and different kinds of weapons and throwing him from mountain cliffs. But Prahlad Maharaj was always protected by Krishna. So finally Hiranyakashipu started contemplating. I am unable to kill Prahlad. What happened? He was saving himself by his own powers. He is like a dog's tail. You can never make dog's tail straight. Right? He is completely fearless. He has unlimited strength. Then Shandai Namarka, in confidence, spoke to Hiranyakashipu that he is a small child. Why are you taking him so seriously? We will train him. Don't worry. Right? After our training and after he grows up a little bit, then he will be able to act according to your instructions or your expectations. Please, give us a chance. Then Prahlad was sent back to school. Again, Shandai Namarka taught Prahlad Maharaj dharma, artha, kama. Prahlad Maharaj never liked them because they were all materialistic and filled with duality, conceptions of friend and enemy. So when there was some break between the classes, so Prahlad Maharaj would gather all the other students and then start teaching them, right? He began teaching his classmates about the uselessness of materialistic life. And all the children were so affectionate towards Prahlad Maharaj. They respected Prahlad Maharaj. They were constantly watching Prahlad Maharaj with affectionate eyes and hearing very attentively what he was speaking. So, he started instructing. First he says, the right utility of human life. Kaumara acharet pragno dharman bhagavatamiha durlabham manusham janma tadapi adhruvam arthadam. So, human life is a chance to go back to Godhead. Although it is also temporary like other forms, still it is very beneficial for the living entity. So one has to perform devotional service to Vishnu after attaining this human form of life. And this material happiness will anyways come automatically, right, due to one's past activities, past karma. So one need not endeavor separately for it. Better worship Vishnu. Use one's energy not to attain material happiness, but to worship Vishnu. So like that, he said, and as long as the body is stout and strong, one should attain. one should endeavor to please Lord Vishnu. Once it dwindles or becomes sick or becomes old, we cannot do it. So he recommends like that. And then he gives a summary of how a human being spends his 100 years of life. Half of life, 50 years will go in sleep, 10 years will go in childhood, we can't do much, and 10 years will go in playing, 20 years will go in old age, whatever rest, little time is available, that is wasted in household affairs without devotional service. Then he elaborately gives a description of materialistic family life. In family life, one is bound by ropes of affection and uncontrolled senses. He cannot be liberated. He is so attached to family and money. Money is sweeter than honey. Right? Even at the cost of risking one's life, one will attain money by becoming thieves or soldiers or merchants. Right? Merchants cheat people. Then thieves, they risk their own lives and then gain money, rob money. Then soldiers are there. They risk their lives and fight. For what? Money. Even if I die, government will send some money to our family. Family attachment is there. Like that. Then wife is so kind and sympathetic. She always pleases the husband. Attachment there. Then children are there. Small children. They talk in broken language. Very pleasing to hear. That is another attachment. Old parents. I have to take care of my elderly parents. That's another attachment. Right? Daughter is specially dear to the father. Right? And furniture, household furniture, animals, servants, all of them give comfort to the person. Like that, in a household life, a person will get so attached to the family. Right? And he becomes like a cocoon. Silkworm becomes imprisoned in a cocoon. He becomes like that. Right? One is bound because of material conditions, because of genitals and tongue. This morning Radhesham Prabhu was also explaining, tongue is so powerful. Like that. Then he explains more about household life. Human purpose is defeated. Time is wasted. Right? One becomes attentive at time money management. Right? He manages time to manage money. To get money. He cheats and accumulates money. Even if he knows some shastras and religious codes also that Yamadharmaraj will come and kill us or punish us, still out of their uncontrolled senses they want to accumulate money. Right? Although they are educated, they are absorbed in the conceptions of mine and others, like cats and dogs. So those who are bereft of knowledge of Supreme Personality of Godhead are bound by material laws, cannot liberate themselves, addicted to sense gratification. They become playthings in the hands of ladies and they are surrounded by family. So like that, Prahlad Maharaj describes the household life. First he spoke about utility of human life. Then he gave a bifurcation on how human life is spent. Then he just gave an X-ray or MRI report of household life. Right? Next, he started giving instructions on how to worship the Supreme Lord. There is absolutely no impediment in worshiping the Supreme Lord. Right? Supreme Lord is the Supreme Controller. Right? He is present in different forms of life. He is in manifest and unmanifest creation. Right? He is a super soul. He appears non-existent to atheists as they are covered by Maya. So after explaining the qualities of Supreme Lord, he says how to satisfy that Supreme Lord. You can satisfy the Supreme Lord by giving up your demoniac nature and act without enmity and duality. Don't listen to our teacher Shanda and Amarka. Listen to what I am saying. Right? Show mercy to all living entities. So demons violate all this. So Prahlad Maharaj is teaching exactly opposite to the nature of demons. Tasma sarveshu bhuteshu dayam kuruta sauhridam. This is that verse. And devotee do not ask for trivarga, dharma, artha, kama. So our syllabus is useless. That's what he says. Prahlad Maharaj, being in the Vidyapita of Shanda and Amarka, is ridiculing their syllabus. Right? And giving a new syllabus. So things related to trivarga are external and material. Surrender to Lord's lotus feet is transcendental. Right? Then he speaks about Bhagavata Dharma. Then I have heard this Bhagavata Dharma from Narada Muni. He concludes like that. Then all these children ask, how did you hear from Narada Muni? You are also 5 years old like us. And you also joined our Shandayamandamarka school with us only. We never saw you interacting with Narada Muni. When did you become disciple of Narada Muni and how did you learn all this? Sitting in our school only. So they asked this question. Then Prahlad Maharaj says, he gives a flashback, right? The circles will come, right? In the movie you see, flashback. So he says that once when my father went, Hiranyakashipu went to do austerities, the demigods attacked the demons, right? So demigod said, as a serpent is eaten by small ants, Hiranyakashipu will be defeated now, right? So the leaders being leaders of demons were killed and other demons started fleeing away. Then demigods plundered the palace of Hiranyakashipu and then arrested Kayadu, Hiranyakashipu's wife. Then Narada Muni appeared there. He asked, what are you doing? We are kidnapping this lady because the son of Hiranyakashipu, a great demon, he is growing in her womb. Then Narada Muni said, she is a sinless woman, chaste wife of another personality. Don't be merciless like this. And Indra said, no, we will release her, we don't kill her. After she delivers the child, who is a demon, we can release her. We will not kill this woman. Narada Muni said, this child is a faultless child. He will become a great devotee of Vishnu. Although it is totally illogical in such a context, all the demigods placed full faith on the instructions and predictions of Narada Muni. Okay, it doesn't make much sense that the son of greatest demon Hiranyakashipu will become a greatest devotee of Vishnu. It doesn't make much sense to us. But because you are saying, we trust you. Right? We are obedient to you. So we'll leave this. So all these demigods circumambulated Kayadu, offered respects to her and left Kayadu in the care of Narada Muni at his ashram. Then Narada Muni started speaking to Kayadu. Right? So many spiritual messages. So Kayadu being a woman, and she could not, generally we sleep in the classes, right? Some of you are sleeping now. So like that, Kayadu also kind of dozed off. But Prahlad Maharaj did not doze off. He was within the womb. He was very attentive. He heard everything. And being a woman, she could not keep the memory also. Whatever instructions she had heard also, she did not remember them. But Prahlad Maharaj remembered everything. That he is repeating now again. So this is how I have heard. So now I will continue my class. Right? You have asked the question. I answered the question. I will continue my class. Now I will speak about spirit, soul and transmigration. Like that. So Prahlad Maharaj started speaking about soul. Even you children also can understand transcendental knowledge. So this body undergoes 6 changes. But soul does not undergo any changes. So, Atma can refer to Lord and Jiva. Being the part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, the soul is also Sachidananda. So, the spiritualist can understand the presence of soul or super soul in the body. And soul exists as an observer within these 8 elements, 3 modes and 16 transformations. So, this body is made up of this Bhumi Rapo Analovayo Kammano Buddhi Revacha, but the soul is there, it is existing as only an observer. Right? It exists separately from the subtle and gross bodies. Right? We can understand by using little logic, we can understand all this. A sober person should search for spirit soul with pure mind and purified by knowledge of matter and spirit. So the presence of the air is understood by aromas it carries. Is it blur? Slightly blur, I think. No? Fine. So due to polluted intelligence, one is subjected to 3 modes. So destroy this polluted intelligence and take to devotional service. Right? Understand the spiritual nature of the soul, understand the temporary nature of this material body, and destroy this polluted intelligence and take to the process of devotional service. And bhakti yoga is the best because it awakens prema for the Lord. Right? And he gives the various limbs of bhakti yoga. One is accepting a bona fide spiritual master, then rendering service to the spiritual master, and offer all possessions to one spiritual master. Whatever I have belongs to my spiritual master. I belong to spiritual master. Means I am the property of my spiritual master. Like that. And in the association of devotees, by chanting and hearing and glorifying and meditating and worshipping the deity, one has to perform devotional service. And one has to offer respects to all living entities, right? According to the position of that living entity, right? Because Supreme Lord is presented as super soul in everybody's heart, everyone is respectable. But some people are more respectable, and we need to understand the gradations amongst those living entities and respect them like that. And the result of practicing that bhakti yoga is twofold. The secondary result is one will be able to conquer the six anarthas, and the primary result is one will develop attraction, rati or prema towards Lord Vasudev. Right? So what are the symptoms of that rati? Ashtasattvic vikar. And after being freed from material contamination, what happens? One will attain bhava, bhava bhakti. After sadhana, one will attain bhava. And he can render devotional service in dasya bhava or sakya bhava, like that. And by realizing the bliss in devotional service, one will be completely liberated. Then what about the difficulties in worshipping the Lord? Someone may question. Prahlad Maharaj gives a simple answer. Going to hell needs so much endeavor. Going back to Godhead will not need much endeavor. That is the answer. So, struggle for these material things is unworthy. Temporary material opulence cannot give any benefit to a sensible man who understands himself to be eternal. Even heaven is temporary. And the destination of all these materialistic people are that they will be frustrated, right, in this life and in the next life also. But sometime they are happy. Somebody may question like this. No, one is happy as long as he does not endeavor for that happiness. As soon as he starts the endeavor to get happiness, he will be in distress. This is clear? You start to attain some money to become happy. And to attain that money, which is supposed to give you happiness, that process of attainment of that money is filled with so much distress that even after getting that money, you cannot relish that happiness. Prahlad Maharaj just rips off this whole materialistic propaganda, materialistic proposal for becoming happy. So then he says about the nature of materialistic body. Jiva desires comfort, but the perishable body, which is other's property, right, embraces the living entity and later it leaves him aside. So body is covering the soul and is leaving the soul. And this vataktaiva atma, it goes into another body. He embraces another body. It's like that. So body is meant to become stool or earth. No meaning to the paraphernalia related to this body. No meaning to the relations which are related to the body. So karma is, suffering is due to previous karma. Right? Knowing this, who will be interested in fruitive activities? Right? Living entity receives one type of body as per his karma. By performing actions with that body, he creates another body. This is called transmigration from one body to another body. So this dharma, artha, kama, moksha depend on the disposition of Supreme Lord. So follow the devotees, and without any desire to follow your devotees and give up all material desires and depend on the Supreme Lord, right, and worship him. So finally he recommends devotional service, and the result of devotional service is that one attains most auspicious condition of life, exactly like Mahajans. So without bhakti, everything else is only a mockery. The ultimate goal of human life is to render service to the lotus feet of Lord Govinda and to see him everywhere. So these are the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj to his schoolmates. Right? So first he spoke about utility of human life and the bifurcation of human life. Then household life. Right? Then they asked the question that how did you get this knowledge? Then he gave the flashback. Then he spoke about the transmigration of the soul. Then he recommended devotional service. So like that. So many things he mentioned. Then he didn't stop there. He started doing Sankirtan. Right? After class, there is Kirtan. So after Kirtan, I didn't know whether there was Prasadam distribution or not. So all the teachers recognized this. Prahlad Maharaj is making other people also devotees. So they reported to Hiranyakashipu. So teachers were afraid. Right? So Hiranyakashipu became very angry, hissing. He decided to kill Prahlad Maharaj. Already he failed in his attempts to kill Prahlad Maharaj, but again he became very angry. He said, "Oh, impudent fellow, right? You violated my power. today I shall kill you, right? When I become angry, all planets tremble, and you don't tremble only. You don't even slightly get affected by my anger. On whose power are you overstepping my power to rule you, right? I am causing terror in the entire, you know, planetary systems, but I am unable to cause any terror in you. Right? On whose strength are you behaving like this? Then Prahlad Maharaj says, the source of your strength is the source of my strength also. The source of Brahma's strength and the strength of all living entities is my strength. That is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? He is the controller of time, controller of three modes. He is the power of senses, mind and body. Right? He is the best of all living entities. So give up your demoniac mentality. Right? Uncontrolled mind is your enemy. Right? In the platform of equality, one can worship the Lord perfectly. So like that he started giving another Bhagavatam class. You should conquer six anarthas. You should be equiposed. No one is your enemy. Then Hiranyakashipu became very furious and said, you are trying to minimize my value as if you are a better person in controlling senses. I have controlled my senses for 100 celestial years. That's why I have gained this control over all these planetary systems and the controllers of planets. And you are saying, you are a 5-year-old kid born from me, and you are teaching me sense control? His ego got hurt. So if you, and you are saying that Lord is everywhere, you are gaining strength, and I am also gaining strength from him. If your Lord is everywhere, let him be present in this pillar. Right? Now I will break your head into pieces. Let me see whether your Supreme Lord come to protect you or not. Then Hiranyakashipu took a, he took his fist and then broke the pillar. Right? And a fearful sound came. That crack of that pillar that covered the entire universe, it reached even Brahmaloka. No one could figure out where this sound is coming from. Then all the leaders of the demons, so they became very bewildered, right? They could not find out the origin of the sound. And Satyam Vidhatam Nidabhritya Bhashitam, to prove the statement of Prahlad Maharaj, right? And other devotees, of course, to prove the statements of Narada Muni and many other people also. Narasimhadev manifested. The Supreme Lord Krishna manifested in the form of half man and half lion as Narasimhadev from that broken pillar. So in amazement, Hiranyakashipu was wondering, what is this creature? I never saw this creature. Right? Otherwise, I could have included this in the list of my benedictions when I asked Brahmaji. I said, no animal, no man. But he doesn't seem to be animal, he doesn't seem to be man also. So he was wondering. Then Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord. Right? He took darshan, limb by limb darshan. Then Hiranyakashipu took a club and attacked the Lord like an elephant, thinking that Lord Vishnu has made this plan to kill me, but who can fight with me? So he just entered to attack Hiranyakashipu. But that was like compared to a fly or an insect entering fire. Hiranyakashipu became invisible in front of the huge form of Narasimhadev. Right? It was illuminating the entire universe. Lord captured him like a Garuda bird captures a snake, insignificant snake. Then, just to give a chance to Hiranyakashipu, as soon as I see him, if I kill him, where is the Majanayi? Right? Narasimhadev left Hiranyakashipu. Then Hiranyakashipu felt that, array, Narasimhadev, right? He came to know my powers, right? He must be a little afraid. He thought like that. Then, he started attacking Narasimhadev with his sword and shield. Right, making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Lord captured him. With the speed of a hawk, he moved everywhere with eyes closed due to fear. This Hiranyakashipu. So Lord captured him, then placed him on the lap and the doorway, not inside the residence, outside the residence, not in the morning or evening, that is Sandhya Kal, right, Sandhyarthi time. So he ripped apart Narasimhadev without any weapon, only by using his nails. So Lord's mouth and mane were sprinkled with blood. His eyes were full of anger. He's licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue. He was decorated with a garland of Hiranyakashipu's intestines. Right? So, and Prahlad Maharaj started garlanding him. Then Lord took the heart of Hiranyakashipu, inspected it. There used to be a lot of love for me in this heart. Where has it gone? And he just threw it away. Then Lord sat on the throne of... And meanwhile, all the demons came to attack him. Seeing how effortlessly Narasimhadev has killed Hiranyakashipu, still these demons wanted to attack Narasimhadev. So just merely by using the ends of his nails, Lord ripped them apart, all of them. Then Lord's form is nicely described. His hair shook the clouds and scattered them away. His eyes stole the effulgence of luminaries. His breathing agitated the seas and oceans. Then his roar made all the elephants cry. Then his hair made airplanes to be thrown in the outer space. So like that, his lotus feet made earth appear to slip, and all the mountains sprang. Then his effulgence like filled the sky, and the directions diminished in their illumination by seeing the effulgence of Lord Narasimha. So finding no one to fight, Lord sat on the throne. No one came forward. And all the demigods celebrated victory, and they started offering prayers. So Brahmaji said, you do creation, maintenance and destruction, but you remain aloof. Then Shiva said, your anger is for the end of the universe. So Indra said, this demon, Hiranyakashipu, he has taken our shares in sacrifice. He didn't allow us to take shares. All the saints said, this demon, Hiranyakashipu, he stopped our sacrifices and penances. You have re-established them. And Pitrulokavasi said, this fellow stopped Shraddha ceremonies. We are not getting food. And Siddha said, he took away all our siddhis, mystic powers. And Vidyadhara said, he banned our power to appear and disappear. So basically, Indra, Hiranyakashipu was the top class robber. Right? He has plundered everybody's wealth. Right? All categories of demigods were completely robbed away or plundered by Hiranyakashipu. Naga said, he took away our jewels and wives also. Then Manu said, our Varnashram system is destroyed because of this fellow. And Prajapati said, he forbade us to create progeny. We are Prajapatis. He is not allowing us to create Praja. Then Gandharva said, he made a sing and dance for him. Then Charana said, now we eternally take shelter of your lotus feet, my dear Narasimhadev. Charana said, now we eternally, this Yaksha said, he engaged us to carry his palanquin, menial service. Then Kimpurusha said, we are insignificant and cannot offer suitable prayers. Then Vaitalika said, he usurped our position of chanting your glories. Kinnara said, he engaged us in the service without any payment. Right? Free seva. Right? Free involuntary seva. Free seva is generally done by volunteers. But he made them volunteers, although they don't have that voluntary spirit. Then Vishnu Parshadas, he is Jaya cursed by Kumaras. So your killing him is his special mercy, because Lord's associates know it. Then comes the beautiful episode of Lord being glorified by Prahlad Maharaj, 7.9. So no one dared to come before the Lord. Even Lakshmi was fearful. Due to influence of Leela Shakti, right? So all the demigods requested Prahlad Maharaj. So no one is able to pacify Lord Narasimha. So my dear Prahlad, you go and pacify him. Then Prahlad Maharaj approached. Lord was in ecstasy. He affectionately placed his lotus hand on the head of Prahlad Maharaj. That karasparsha creates fearlessness in the hearts of devotees. Right? Narasimhadev is the creator of fearlessness. He is the creator of fear in the hearts of demons, and he creates fearlessness in the devotees. That's why whenever we go out or when we have to do some activity, we chant Narasimha's prayers. Right? So, because of that sparsha, Prahlad Maharaj became ecstatic. He manifested ecstatic symptoms. So, there is no material impediment that can stop the spiritual progress. Prahlad Maharaj was a child. He had a demoniac birth. Right? Just now, his father died. Still, he is manifesting such ecstatic symptoms as a pure devotee because of Narasimhadev's touch. Then Prahlad Maharaj fixed his mind and sight on Narasimha Dev, and with full attention, in complete trance, he offered prayers with love in such a faltering voice. So he begins his prayers. First prayer. Brahmadeya Suragana Manayota Siddha Sattvaikatana Gatayovachadham Pravahi Narajitum Puruganehi Adhunapi Pipru Kim Toshtu Marhati Same Hari Rugrajate. Good, you remember.
So all these demigods, they offered prayers to you in the last chapter, second half.
So if their prayers, which are filled with sattva and vachasam pravahai, cannot satisfy you, how can my prayer satisfy you? I belong to Ugra Jati. Right? So, but I know that there is no material qualification that can satisfy you. Only bhakti can satisfy you. Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayuta paya. Right? Manya dhana vijana rupa tapasrutoja teja prabhava valapaurusha buddhi yoga. There are 12 qualifications. None of them can satisfy you. Right? A non-devotee, vipra, although he may have 12 brahmanical qualifications, still he cannot satisfy you if he is averse to your lotus feet. But even if a dog eater, if he is devoted to you, he can satisfy you. He can purify his entire family. On the other hand, the other fellow, non-devotee vipra, he cannot purify his own self. What to speak of his family? Then the Lord says, oh, you are saying my devotee only will satisfy me. Am I self-centered or what? Lord may question like that. Then Prahlad Maharaj intelligently says, no, my dear Lord, if somebody offers to you something, that is for his benefit, the devotee's benefit, not for your benefit. You are not self-centered, right? This worshipper is taking care of his own self-interest by worshipping you, right? So, just like somebody decorates the face of a person, the reflection in the mirror is beautiful, right? By serving you, we are getting benefited. So, although I am unqualified, I presented my disqualifications, still I will offer to you my prayers as far as my intelligence goes, for my own purification. Then he started offering. All these demigods are not fearful like us, demons. We demons are fearful, but demigods are not fearful. Your appearance is your pastime. So now that this demon was killed, demon was like a snake or scorpion who becomes envious of people causelessly. So he is killed. Now there is no need for you to be angry. So please, your incarnation is supposed to be fear, supposed to bestow fearlessness. But people are getting fearful of you. So please give up this anger. He pacifies him. So I am not people are becoming fearful, some people, but I am not afraid of your fearful form. Your fearful form is so beautiful. Then he describes his form also. What is that verse? Form verse. Naham bhivemi ati. Ati, what is that? Ajitate. Ati bhayanakasya. Jihvakra netra bhrukuti ravasogra dhamstra. Something like that. So that is the form of the Lord. Although your form is so frightening, I am not fearful. Right? Just like elephant, cub is there. Elephant, nahi. Lion, cub is there. It's not fearful of lion. Right? So, elephant, even a big elephant can drown in sea. But a small fish can swim upstream also. Right? Can swim opposite to the flow of the stream also. That is because it has taken shelter of that sea. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj says, I have taken shelter of your lotus feet, so I have no fear of you. Right? These are all from the purports. Then, O Kripanavatsala, I am afraid of this conditioned life. I am not fearful of your form, but I am fearful of this conditioned life. When is the shelter of your lotus feet? Then, in this material world, which is full of dualities, right, there is absolutely no remedy for material miseries. The only remedy is to engage in your service. So, I will chant your glories, following the footsteps of parampara, right? So that is the life and duty of a devotee. So conditioned souls neglected by you cannot do anything for their betterment, or whatever remedies they are finding are impermanent remedies. They are not actually remedies. This is Balasena Yaharanam, Pitaram Rasimha. Even when a parent is there, parent cannot protect the child, right? A doctor cannot protect a patient, right? Sometimes they protect. And a boat cannot protect a drowning man, right? But when Narasimha Dev wants to protect, no one can stop his protection.
right? Like that, the only shelter is Lord's lotus feet. Everything is a manifestation of your energy. Only shelter of your lotus feet can free one from the entanglement of karma, karma kanda. So material elements are under your control. I am crushed by time, so I surrender unto your lotus feet. Because the government can imprison a person and release a person, because you are the Lord, supreme controller of this material creation, you can easily release someone who is entrapped in this material creation. This material creation is like a prison cell, right? Which is under the control of main government. If the government wants, someone can release him from the prison. So please, release me from the prison cell of this material world. Like that. So the futility of Ayu, Shriya, Vaibhava. I am not interested in all this Ayu, Shriya, Vaibhava, etc. My father had all this. I have seen. That didn't protect him. He just was killed by you 10 minutes back. So please, place me in the touch of your pure devotee. Right? I don't seek protection in Ayu, Shriya, Vaibhava, etc. I seek protection in the association of your devotee. So let me serve your devotee as his sincere servant. So my living entity desires happiness, although knowing it to be temporary, only because of his uncontrolled senses. In the material world, the happiness is like a mirage. Right? Happiness is like mirage in the desert. Still, one seeks only because of uncontrolled senses. This desert. You are seeing some water there? And one more thing, by pouring ghee in the fire, fire will not get extinguished. Fire will become big only. So similarly, by giving so much sense enjoyment to the senses, the sense enjoyment will not stop. Right? It will increase only. Solution is just to surrender to Krishna. So your causeless mercy, by your causeless mercy, you have put your hand on me, who was born from a demoniac family. This kind of privilege was never available for Brahmaji, Shiva or Lakshmi also. We are like a desire tree. You reciprocate according to the level of the devotee's service. And you don't discriminate between lower birth and higher birth. Friends and enemies. Right? This friends and enemies concept is there from beginning of Prahlada Maharaj's episode. Like that. I was actually falling into the blind well. But Narada Muni very mercifully instructed me. How can I forget him? I want to serve him. Right? In saving me and killing my father, we have proved your devotee's words true. Satyam vidhatum nija vritya bhashatum. Then later, Prahlad Maharaj describes Lord's relation with this cosmos. Right? So, you are aloof from this cosmos, although you create this cosmos. Right? You lie in yoga nidra after the annihilation of this cosmos. And from your lotus navel, from your navel, lotus sprouts. This is about Garbhodak Sai Vishnu. Then on that lotus, Brahmaji takes birth and starts searching for you. And this whole cosmic manifestation develops, just like the fructification of a seed. Right? So when seed fructifies, original seed cannot be seen. So, but you are the root of everything. No one can identify you as the root. Right? So this example also comes. When seed fructifies, original seed cannot be seen. So now it fructified, this cotton thing, and it is coming in the form of cloth or thread. No one can see cotton there. Right? But it is coming from cotton only. Then Brahma sees the Lord in himself after 100 years of tapa. Then these are some analogies coming from the purports. Just like we see aroma in earth, all are of the same theme only. So aroma is there in the earth, but that aroma is not actually seen in the earth, but from earth plants grow and flowers grow. We can see that aroma in flowers. You directly go and smell the earth, you may get something, but the source of the smell of all beautiful fragrant flowers, mogra and whatever flowers, that is coming from the earth only. Similarly, Lord is also spreading everywhere through his energies. So, Brahma sees the Lord's form and he achieves bliss, and Lord in the form of Hayagriva gives Vedas to Brahmaji, and Lord is Triyuga. He appears only in three Yugas. In fourth Yuga, he is covered in incarnation like Channa Avatar. Then, finally, Prahlad Maharaj represents himself as a common man and says, constantly appearing, you shower the nectar of your form, qualities and pastimes. But my sinful mind does not take pleasure in this. So Prahlad Maharaj asked the Lord on behalf of fallen souls that my mind is sinful, lusty, greedy, fallen and poor. How can I discuss your activities? My mind, my position is like a man with many wives. Or the driver of a chariot with many horses while the horses are running away here and there. Right? Senses are trying to attract me in their own ways. I am like this. So he presents his fallen condition. He considers himself fallen, but although he is not fallen. So we are on the either side of Vaitarani river. I am on this side and you are on that side. So be kind, deliver me, maintain me. And we are delivered by serving your devotee. He knows the formula for deliverance also. And again he says, I am fearless. So we can see some kind of apparent contradictory statements that he makes. Sometimes he says, I am fearful. Sometimes he says, I am fearless. Right? These are all variety of emotions that are coming in the heart of a devotee. I am fearless because I am absorbed in your glories. But my concern is about this Vimudhas. What is this verse? 43? Naiva dvijaya paradutya turatya vaitarinya tadvirya gayana mahamrata magna chitta socetato vimukha chetasa indriyartha. So, maya sukhaya bharamudvahato vimudhan. So he is fearful about the Vimudhas, right, who are not chanting his glories. So deliverance of a conditioned soul happens by descriptions of Supreme Lord. If one does not take shelter of that, he has to rot in this material world. Then he says, Grahamedi's happiness is insignificant. Then before that he says, I do not wish to be liberated alone, like Munis do. Right? Munis go to Himalayas for their own deliverance. But how can I leave all these conditioned souls here and then think of my own deliverance? Right? So Grahamedi's happiness is insignificant. What is that verse? Yanmaithunadi Grahamedi Sukham Hituchham. Prabhupada writes in this purport. So, devotees are not interested in Himalayas, but the busiest part of the world to enlighten people in Krishna consciousness. So, the members of Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Then, towards the end of his prayers, Prahlad Maharaj gives these 10 methods on the path of liberation. Right? So, you are the cause and effect. Your all-pervasive conception of Supreme Personality of Godhead is that material elements and everything expressed is nothing but you. Lord is all pervasive. So no one is subjected to birth and death can understand you. So the wise people practice devotional service, practical devotional service that involves all these elements. Stuti, karma, puja. Karma means working on your behalf or dedicating the results of your activities. Then smriti, then sravanam. So these are the various limbs of devotional service. So this is like a bird's eye view of prayers. Did you get this sheet? So, first 5 verses are Prahlad Maharaj is preparing to offer prayers. Next he requests the Lord to cease his anger. Next he seeks the Lord's shelter. Then he presents his previous experience of seeing his father. Then he seeks for Lord's mercy. And he explains the relation between the Lord and the cosmos. Then he expresses his humility and concern for the fallen souls. Finally, he gives a brief description of bhakti. These are the various sections of Prahlad Maharaj's prayers. Then Narasingdev responds. He was pacified. He gave up his anger. So I am pleased, my dear Prahlad. Please ask for a benediction. So, if I am pleased, everybody's desires will be fulfilled. Only I can fulfill the desires of everyone. Then Prahlad Maharaj did not show any interest in asking any material benedictions. Right? He said that I am naturally attached to material enjoyment because I have a demoniac birth. Then why are you tempting me further? Right? Then later Prahlad Maharaj says, you had sent me this material world to exhibit the symptoms of pure devotees. You are questioning me, you are asking me, tempting me with benediction so that you can glorify your pure devotee. Like that. So, just like a merchant desires material benefits for his service, a pure servant and pure master will not have this kind of expectations from each other. So a servant will not serve a master to get some material benefit from him, and a master will not benedict his servant so that his name and fame will be glorified. Right? I am an unmotivated servant and you are my eternal master. That's all. So I don't have any material desires. I should not have any material desires that vanquish all good qualities. So then one will possess opulence like yours if one does not have any material desires. But the Lord says, you never desire material opulences, but I order you to enjoy material opulence for one full manvantara. Right? Always hear about me and remember me. You will be relieved from all piety and impiety and you will come back to me. So, I give one more benediction. Prahlad Maharaj asks, I want one benediction from you. Please excuse my father. So, Narasingdev says, what about your father? 21 generations, 21 forefathers are already delivered because you are a great devotee. So, devotees purify the places and their dynasties also. And my devotees are never jealous of anyone. And those who follow you will naturally become my devotees. And please, now perform funeral rites of Hiranyakashipu and set an example and take charge of the kingdom. So then Brahmaji offers prayers. He says, my dear Lord, this Prahlad Maharaj is so fortunate, right? You have protected him. You have taken him under your protection. And what happened? Okay, if one meditates upon you, you protect him from all fears. So then after Brahma said this, Narasimhadev says that please don't give such benedictions again. Everything is because of you only. Right? You have given some benedictions to Hiranyakashipu. Right? That's why this whole episode has happened. Of course, ultimately this whole episode happened because of Lord's desire to fight. So then Prahlad Maharaj was enthroned. All the demigods gave him blessings. And all the demigods later returned after the coronation of Prahlad Maharaj. Thus, Narada Muni concluded this story. After this story, Narada Muni also speaks about this Vritrasura, what is this? Tripurasura. How Shiva killed Tripurasura and other things. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj could practice pure devotional service, but what to speak of general masses? Right? So far we have heard the description of pure devotional service. A pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. But not everybody can be pure. We want to give some mixed devotional service also. Someone at different levels also should be able to connect with devotional service, not just pure devotees. That's why the rest of the canto is about Varnashram system. So we can quickly go through this. So Yudhishthira Maharaj glorified Narada Muni and asked more questions. His questions are mainly twofold. I want to know about Sanatana Dharma and Varnashram. Two things I want to know. Then Narada Muni says that I will explain whatever I have heard from Naranarayan Rishi. Right? So answer to the first question, that is Sanatana Dharma. There are 30 qualifications by which one can satisfy the Supreme Lord. Out of them, 9 items are pure devotional service and 21 items are assisting the process of pure devotional service. So they are these. So 9 main processes are hearing, chanting, etc. Then 21 assisting processes are truthfulness, mercy, austerity, etc. Right? Then he answers the second question. Second question starts from this 13th verse of 11th chapter. It goes till the end of 15th chapter. Right? So, second question is about Varnashram Dharma. So, Varnashram Dharma, first he describes about different Varnas. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. He gives the occupational duties of Brahmana. 6 duties. Patan, Patan, Yajan, Yajan, Dana, Pratigraha. And the symptoms of the Brahmana is controlling mind, senses, austerity, penance, cleanliness, like this. So like that, we don't have to enumerate them. They're like list only. So Kshatriya has these qualities and he has these. Kshatriya's occupational duties are these. He can accept taxes and protect the citizens. And Kshatriya symptoms are he is very much influential in the battle, challenging. Then Vaishya's occupational duties are agriculture, trading and co-protection. His symptoms are that he is devoted to demigods, guru, and endeavors for Purusharthas. Then Shudra,
his only duty is to accept a master from the any of these three categories and serve them like that. Then alternatives for a brahmana in hierarchy, right? So there are brahmanas can do any of these four duties, occupational duties, right? Silanchana vritti, then yayavara vritti, salina vritti, all these are there. Then there are apadharmas. Apadharmas means that can be, that dharma, although it is not his occupational duty, that can be done by him in emergency. That is apadharma. Now Prabhupada says, technically speaking, ideally speaking, one varna should not take the occupational duties of another varna. But now it's society is in emergency. In ISKCON, we have to train everybody as brahmana. Right? Sudra is, in the Vedic society, Sudra is not trained like a brahmana. Vedic education or this mantra chanting and all is given to only brahmanas, not sudras. But Kali, everybody is sudra only. Right? But we have to train them only as brahmanas. Prabhupada says, this is emergency dharma. Then he gives the duties of a chaste wife, how she is favorable to husband and maintains the home nicely, qualities are satisfied, clean, pure, etc. Then he gives the duties of mixed classes and the result of following this varnashram dharma. So mixed classes are called sankara, right? Those who are somewhat pure are called antevayasi or chandala. They have their hereditary customs. So the result, by acting as per one's nature, is that he attains nishkama stage. Then apply to two sinful and less intelligent person. That is, to fulfill one's sense gratificatory desires, we have just seen one image some time back. If you pour ghee into fire, fire will only increase, it will not decrease. But there is a method of controlling the fire or subduing the fire by using ghee only. Take so much ghee. If fire is this much, you know, take 10 liters ghee and then put it on it. Right? But that is not a very, that is not a recommendation. That can be done like that also. Someone is like smoking. He is like chain smoker. Daily he smokes 10 cigarettes, whatever. For him to stop smoking, maybe you can give him, you smoke 100 cigarettes today. Tomorrow you smoke 1000 cigarettes. Day after tomorrow you smoke whatever, 2000 cigarettes. I don't know if that is possible. So after doing that much smoking, he will be disgusted with smoking and he will stop. But that is not the recommended way of doing it. When somebody is smoking 10, we tell him, today you smoke 5, tomorrow you smoke 3, day after tomorrow you smoke 2. So then you stop smoking. Something like that we can say, like that. If he is not ready for it, you increase the quantity and then subdue it. But the increasing quota is not very recommended. That's what it says. Overindulgence in lusty desires mitigates such desire, but it is not a recommendation. Conclusion is that varna is not by birth, but by qualities. Esayal lakshanam proktam. Then after discussing about different varnas and duties of chaste wife and other apadharma, etc., he discusses about ashramas. First ashram is brahmachari ashram. Brahmachari gurukule vasan, he has to live in gurukul only for the benefit of spiritual master. A brahmachari is sold out servant of spiritual master. The only purpose of his existence is to serve the spiritual master according to his instructions. Like that. So early morning he has to get up. So these are all different duties of a brahmachari. And he has to be alert, quite well behaved, gentle, etc. Right? Sunray na? And controlling senses. Woman is like fire, man is like butter pot. So one has to avoid woman association when he is a brahmachari. And by following these rules under the shelter of a guru, one will eventually attain the Lord. That is the theme of next set of verses. Next, he gives the duties of a vanaprastha, how he should eat only ripened fruits by sunshine. He should wear matted locks. He should clean his body of dirt. So these are all certain duties of vanaprastha. So the updated version, again, some more elements of vanaprastha you will find in Uddhava Gita. So the most updated version is what was given 500 years back, Mahaprabhu's Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we can learn all these Varnashrama principles and all, but sometimes we may not be able to relate with each and every one of them. Right? Shraddha ceremony, Shraddha rites, duties of Vanaprastha, some of these things. So the actual Sadachar, what things we need to follow for practical application and all, we can find more in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? Next, the rules for giving up one's body after Vanaprastha, that is also mentioned here. How to give up one's body. We give up body by when other devotees are chanting Hare Krishna. Then that's how devotees give up their bodies. If it's like predictable death, other unpredictable deaths are there. So the merging of subtle body and senses and sense objects merging into sense devatas. See, basically all this, whenever somebody is giving up his body in yogic process, we see in 15th chapter of first canto, Prithu Maharaj gives up his body. So whenever somebody is giving up body, you get some mini yoga class, right? Oftentimes you see that the way he gives up body is opposite to the process of creation. Creation, Pradhan is there, Mahatattva, then false ego, three modes, senses manifested, all the 23 elements manifested. The process of giving up the body is like little opposite. He merged his senses into mind, mind into intelligence, intelligence into ego, right? Ego into, so like that, he just, it goes backward. So it is something similar. Next. How does non-dual Brahman exist since earth and other materials exist? What is this? All material existence like earth, etc. will also merge into Brahman. 1 minute. How do you close this ribbon? Ah, done.
You can see, right?
I want to skip the animations. Every dabba will come. So we want to go slide by slide. Yes, done. Okay. That's about Brahmacharya and Vanaprastha. So after Brahmacharya and Vanaprastha, he describes the qualities of a sannyasi. Naradamuni. So qualities of sannyasi are renouncing all material connections and travel. He travels and preaches, right? He wears lion cloth. Then he sees the Lord as all-pervading. And during conscious and unconscious states, he tries to understand the self. So there are certain qualities of a sannyasi. An advanced sannyasi may or may not accept the symbols of a sannyasi. Sometimes sannyasi is given danda. He cannot, for few years, first few years, it's recommended that he has to carry danda. After that time, after some time, he need not carry danda always. Something like that. Right? Then Prahlad Maharaj, he explains more about the behavior of a saintly person or sannyasi through the meeting of Naradam, Prahlad Maharaj and a saintly person. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj once sees an Avadhut Brahman in the Sahya mountain area. So he duly worshipped him and inquired from him. You don't seem to do any endeavor. It doesn't seem that you are going out and working for some salary or something like that. Still your body is so stout and strong. You have no money. So how has your body become so fat? Though wise and capable, you are lying down, looking at people performing actions with disgust. Then Avadhut Brahman replies, you are aware of the different stages of life because of your transcendental eyes. So many people must have seen this Avadhut Brahman, but only Prahlad Maharaj had the intelligence to go and question him and ask some questions and learn from him. Like that. So he says, although you know everything, I shall answer your questions for my self-purification. That's what Avadhut Brahman says. Because of insatiable desires, one is engaged in different activities and accepts various forms of life. In that evolutionary process, I received this human form. Right? So seeing the distress with womanly pleasures, I renounced from performing actions. So material sense gratification is simply imagination. Conditioned soul forgets his self-interest due to bodily identification. So living entity is unable to see happiness within, and he looks for it in the material world. So the happiness is there within. Journey within. So but he looks for outside happiness. So all my plans to enjoy were baffled, being controlled by the laws of material nature. Then all our activities are subjected to threefold miseries, adhyatmika, adhidevika, adhibhautika. So rich man is greedy to accumulate more money. And the original cause of all miseries is this desire for prestige and money. So one has to be like a bee. One has to learn satisfaction from bee. So learn it to be attached to accumulating money. Means a bee starts accumulating so much of honey there, it's not getting satisfied. One has, seeing that bee, one has to take one lesson. It's like a positive and negative gurus are there, right? In 24 Gurus episode also. From Python, one can learn the principle of patience, right? So, this Avadhut Brahman says, I have learned these lessons from bee and Python. Satisfaction lesson and patience lesson. Then he speaks about his eating habits, dressing habits, sleeping habits, lifestyle habits. Eating is whatever comes, I'll eat. Dressing habit, no dress, right? To cover my body, I just use some cuisine, silk, cotton, tree bark, deer skin, whatever is freely available. I don't endeavor so much, going to Raymond's showroom and other things. Sleeping habits, sometimes I sleep on stone, grass, right outside, here and there, under a tree, wherever. I don't make elaborate arrangements of mosquito net and other things. Right? Lifestyle, sometimes I bathe, sometimes I travel naked, like a person haunted by ghost. So these are all his lifestyle things. So, then again he gives the winding up oneself into Brahman. Something similar to Vanaprastha giving up his life. Then that is the qualities of sannyasi. Later, Narada Muni explains the ideal family life, grihastha life. Then his action is that householder is conscious, he's supposed to be conscious of his goal of attaining liberation. Right? Actually, Narada Muni, Yudhishthira Maharaj asks this question. How the householder, without conscious of goal of life, will attain liberation? Then Narada Muni says, they should act to earn their own livelihood. Right? And offer the results to Lord Vasudeva. That is how their action should be. Then association. They have to associate with Mahamunis. They should hear Krishna Katha. Right? And accumulation, they should live a simple life. They should be externally attached, internally detached. Externally, he has to take care of this family and furniture and house, etc. But internally, he has to be detached from all those material possessions. So this is how a householder should conduct himself. And no need to endeavor very hard for these three vargas, dharma, artha, kama. And one has to give up his attachment to his wife and conquer the Lord. How does it happen? By deliberation. Body will transform into krimi, vid, bhasma. If you use some common sense, anyone can understand the temporary nature of this body. So Narada Muni is saying like that only. Just use your deliberation power to understand. And one has to give up his attachment to eating luxuriously and be satisfied only with prasad. One has to worship the Supreme Lord, the demigods, the sages, forefathers, human beings, etc. Right? And how is the Lord pleased? Lord accepts oblations through the mouth of Brahmanas. Therefore, one has to first offer everything to the Brahmanas and the demigods. Then, he discusses about the time and place to perform Shraddha rites. Right? This is one table you can go through. And he discusses the significance and importance of worshipping the deities. Then, importance of Brahmana and Achyuta according to Desha, Kala and Patra. When great sages saw the disrespectful dealings at the beginning of Treta Yuga, deity worship was introduced. Deity worship was introduced only to increase respectful dealings amongst people. When you worship the deity with such grave awe and reverence, one will develop the quality of being respectful. Like that. That was the original thing. So the neophyte's worship is, that since he is envious in nature, Lord is never pleased with his service. Interestingly, in Bhagavatam, wherever deity worship is coming, it is always associated with warning notes. 7th canto, 3rd canto, 11th canto. Uddhava says, here this Avadhut Brahman is saying, then Kapila says, all are associated with Respecting other living entities, warning notes, like that. So deity worship seems ecstatic, right? But it is associated with, you know, it is like if one is not careful, one can do so many offenses. So brahmanas are the best, since by practicing austerity, studying Vedas, becoming counterpart body of the Lord, even Lord worships them. They preach and sanctify three worlds. This is the glory of brahmanas. We'll discuss more about deity worship in some other sessions. I already highlighted some of those points in the senior batch classes. Then finally, Narada Muni gives some instructions for civilized human beings. Right? Here also we have some elaboration on the rules of Shraddha rites, when to perform, how to perform, etc. And five types of adharma. Vidharma, paradharma, upadharma, chaladharma and avhasa dharma. They are mentioned. Then irreligion is to be avoided. How to remain satisfied? Give up lust and greed. Right? With lust and greed, no one can be satisfied. One who is self-satisfied sees auspiciousness everywhere. What is this verse? Sarvaha, Shivamaya Disha. Sada Santushta Manasa, correct. So just as one who has shoes is protected from thorns and rocks, similarly one is satisfied, he can see auspiciousness everywhere. Right? What is the problem with greed? Due to greed for senses, education, austerity and reputation, a brahmana will dwindle. How to conquer greed? Hunger and thirst are satisfied when one eats. Like that. So these are all different methods of conquering various anarthas. How to conquer lust, how to conquer anger, how to conquer greed, how to conquer pride. These are all mentioned here. So then he gives the importance of accepting a guru. So one who considers that guru is an ordinary human being, and for him everything is frustrated. We learn more instructions about the importance of guru from Uddhava Gita also, 11th canto. Then process of liberation for a householder, he mentions. One who desires to conquer the mind must leave the family and live in a solitary place. And he should establish a clean seat, level place, perform pranayama, a little bit of ashtanga yoga. And after renouncing the world, if one thinks body as self and again enjoys, is a vantasi. You know who is vantasi? Who eats one's own omit. Like that. So he entered renunciation. Again he is seeking sense pleasure. Right? He is called, that is sinful. Where is this? Then body chariot analogy came. Right? Then the story of Upabarahana comes. This is like Narada Muni's previous life. So there is Prajapatis. They organized a Sankirtan festival. Then they invited all Gandharvas and Apsaras also. So this Narada Muni, who was like Upavarahana, a Gandharva, right? He was like a playboy with so many girlfriends. So he went to Sankirtan party and started singing cinema songs there. Then Prajapati said, you are behaving like a Sudra. You are coming for the Sankirtan festival to glorify the Supreme Lord. And you are singing with ladies and singing about demigods, etc. You become a Sudra. Then he became the son of maidservant. That is described in 1st canto, 4th chapter, 5th chapter. Then he became, by the service to Bhakti Vedantis, he became Narada Muni, son of Brahma in the next life. So these are certain episodes from the 7th canto. Mitra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, done? Anything else? Any questions, comments? I summarized Varnashram part because we have to read everything. Otherwise, so it's already 12:25. Should we start?